Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so should we start out the show the way we started out off the air?
No, let's not. Let's just not.
All I asked is whether you were sober today or not. That's all I asked, okay? And what bothered me is that you guessed.
I guess.
I suppose. It might be.
I don't know. Maybe somebody snuck something in my water. It tasted like water.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Welcome back into the state of Pennsylvania, my friend.
It's great to be here. It's great to be here. Coming up today, we're going to deviate for a moment and go to the wrestling side of it. We're going to talk with Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, get an update on how the Nittany Lions are doing. And then we're going to bring in Neil Riddell from the Altoona Mirror. So that's how we set up today. And then a few minutes with Mike Farrell, former Nittany Lion. Just talking about what it's like to transition from one coach to another coach, like he had to do with Joe Paterno and his staff to Bill O'Brien and his staff. So how about three different perspectives today?
I like that idea.
So that's what we'll do. We're going to start out next half hour wrestling with Jeff Byers. Next half hour at 4:06, Neil Riddell, Altoona Mirror. And then we're going to spend a few minutes with former Nittany Lion offensive tackle Mike Farrell, talking about transitions and what they mean to players and the pluses, minuses, and mindset. A lot of people have talked in recent days about James Franklin and Vanderbilt recruits flipping to Penn State. And there have been a few that have done that.
Three, I believe, so far.
Right, which I, you know, obviously I can't get into the names because of the NCAA part. And there's a guy that people consider to be a key recruit for Penn State that flipped today to Florida. Okay? So these things happen. But I think people need for a moment to put themselves into the shoes of not the Vanderbilt fan, not the Penn State fan, not the Florida fan. You need to put yourself into the shoes of the young man, the 17 and 18-year-old, that makes a decision, and recruits choose a school for a wide variety of reasons. Head coach, always wanted to go to said school, followed said school since I was a little kid. Can't believe I'm going to get a chance to play for them. They have a great reputation at my position. You know what? They're one of the best engineering schools in the country, and I get to play high-level college football and get a great engineering degree. They have a great kinesiology program. My buddies have gone there. My girlfriend's going there. You know, there's a wide variety of reasons as to why somebody chooses a school. And certainly one of them is the head coach. The head coach is the closer. And James Franklin gives you that Mariano Rivera feeling, without question, that he's able to go in, get in the living room. Because when you're talking to a parent, parents, grandparents, aunt, uncle, whomever the primary caretaker has been over time for the young man, those people are now entrusting you with their son. So it's not just a question of talking to the young man. It's also talking to the parents or whomever the primary caretaker has been over time. Because you're going to be the one that's going to assume that mantle of leadership in their life for the next 4, possibly 5 years. And for a young man who's sitting in a position, say, as a Vanderbilt recruit. Now remember, for everyone, all the Penn State fans who rejoice when Ben Klein, for example, who's a heart and soul, gutsy kind of linebacker who really has a lot of skill. When he's healthy, Ben's a good player. But remember how people rejoiced when he flipped from Pitt to Penn State? They were thrilled beyond words. about that, and it was justified. He's a really good player. Just like in Florida, I think today they're probably thrilled about a defensive tackle. Well, you then mix that in with how do the Vanderbilt kids feel right now? Vanderbilt doesn't have a coach. And they're sitting there in limbo. And this goes back to what I talked about before. Remember how I gave the analogy last week about, look, you know, and on a personal level, everybody goes through this on a personal level. Your car breaks down. It's the only one you have. You got to bring it into the shop. It disrupts your life. Hey, you're not sure what's going to happen. You then find out, you know what, it's going to cost so much to fix this doggone thing, you're going to have to look for a new car. And also, you take a few days, you go over to Sunbury Motors, you look at the great selection they have, and then you pick out a car. And the second you drive off that 4th Street Auto Mall lot with a car, you feel like your life is settled. None of us like to have uncertainty surrounding us in our lives. If you're a 17 and 18-year-old, and you've committed someplace, and suddenly uncertainty enters into it, and the person that you trust that recruited you, the person that your parents trusted you in recruiting them, suddenly is saying, you know what, we have a spot here. What do you think? Can you blame them for switching out and going someplace to a person they already have developed a trust in? Because they haven't signed a letter of intent. And this happened, by the way, with Penn State, you know, supposedly losing one today to Florida. That's his choice. You know, the people that he committed to aren't here any longer. So other people who had recruited him that he also felt comfortable with, he decided to go there. So it's, you know, we're at that stage where when people talk about, oh, they're poaching recruits, hey, nothing is settled yet, and you have to put yourself into the shoes not of the coaches and not of the fans. You have to put yourself into the shoes of the young people who are sitting there right now saying, oh, geez, now what do I do? Do I stick? Who's going to be the coach? I don't know. And then suddenly you have an opportunity to go with the people who recruited you that you already trust and have already built a relationship with. There's nothing wrong with that. And you notice how I played all sides of this here. You know, this hasn't been an absolute, because I talked about a young man flipping and saying no to Penn State because he's decided to verbal someplace else. Talked about that. Talked about one in the past where Penn State got, you know, from Pitt, how happy people were when that happened. I mean, that happens. This is part of the recruiting game right now. It's something I don't delve into that often, but one thing that we don't do a good job of, I think, in this day and age, is we don't do a good job of standing back for a moment and putting ourselves into someone else's shoes. Most often we look at it from our shoes, from our point of view. And I think sometimes you have to take it and you have to look at it from the perspective of the person who's most affected by it. You, the fan, you're affected by it. You want to see these guys come here. And there's certainly, you want to also want to make sure that your programs run with the highest integrity. At the same time, if you're a young man, you're hoping, you know, and there may be several of those guys that are hoping he does call because they're going to feel really good about where they landed because of him. And that's their choice as to what they want to do with their lives. It's like I don't begrudge the young man in all this that's decided that he'd rather go to the SEC than play with Penn State in the Big Ten after committing. I don't begrudge him that. He thinks that's the landing spot he wants to go to. It's his choice, his selection. He has until now and February 5th to make that choice. When he actually signs on the dotted line and faxes that thing in. These are all choices that we make, as, you know, and they're making these choices as young adults in consultation with those who are the most influential in their lives. So people have talked about that, and I find it of no I have no problem with what's going on there. I mean, yeah, is Penn State benefiting out of some of it? Of course they are. They're benefiting out of it. That's fine. But it also, they're also, you know, but doesn't mean it's been perfect, because it seems like there's one that looks like it's going to be a loss. That's his choice as to what he wants to do with his life. That's what happens in transitions. And all of us like to have our lives settled. I'm talking to a primary example right now.
Really?
That would be...
Who would that
be? There we go. Jumps right in on cue. Perfect. Don't you like when your life's settled? Because your life is, one chaotic mess, really.
It is one chaotic mess. You're right. Settling in comfort zone is nice to me. I like comfort zones.
But you see where I'm going with it here. And, you know, we're talking about this as adults, I mean, who have gone through all so many twists and turns in life to get to this particular day. What about a 17- or 18-year-old?
Well, you may lose a 4-star by one service and then get a 5-star that you wouldn't have gotten before because of a change. You know, it may end up being a wash in the grand scheme of things.
And you don't know how players develop. You just don't know. For a Jadeveon Clowney, who was a 5-star of all 5-stars, and there are moments where he played like a 5-star, and there are moments where it looked like he took plays off. But Bob McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans, was talking yesterday glowingly about Clowney, saying, hey, look, he reminds me of like Mario Williams, except with more talent. You know, and they know they drafted Mario Williams first over Reggie Bush. Hey, you have guys like that. And then you have the Deion Butlers of the world that end up walking on, starting as a DB, getting flipped to offense, and then becoming a really effective college wide receiver, and then playing in the National Football League. You don't know from level to level how it translates. The jump from high school to college is a huge jump. The jump from college to the NFL is an exponential jump. So we speculate about, well, this guy could, this guy. You know. That's why, how often, Kevin, have I talked about, gee, I'd like to see him first myself before I start to get a read on them.
I think I've heard it once. I've heard it at least 100 times.
Exactly. But I'm just explaining, when people sit back and say, oh, Penn State's taking guys, this is a transition time. There's a lot of things in flux right now across the board. And remember how unsettled the young people are, because suddenly they've been hit with a change they didn't expect. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf, Jeff Byers on wrestling coming up next. But first, news at the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. As we roll through this Wednesday afternoon together, Steve Jones, Kevin Herr, here on SJS. So, Kevin, what's your schedule like for the rest of the week?
I'm pretty good. I mean, Friday there's some basketball against Jersey Shore at home, and that's pretty much it for me. I'm good.
Really? Yeah. I see.
You've got some. Well, you've got another basketball game this week, don't you?
Yeah, I have to go to Purdue. Purdue will play Illinois tonight, and then they'll play Purdue Saturday night at 7. Saturday night at 7, they will play Purdue. So we're looking forward to that.
By the way, thanks for the Penn State wrestling tickets. That was great.
Did I give you Penn State wrestling tickets?
No, you didn't. And that's the problem.
Okay, let me ask you something.
Uh-huh.
Exactly when did you ask for them?
That's an open thing. You know, anytime there's a Sunday wrestling match, there's a lot of them at home, you know. Got nothing going on, head out. watch Penn State wrestling. That'd be fine. Call it an open request. You've heard of an open invitation. This is an open request.
Oh, boy. Like working with a barnacle. All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, since you're that way about life, how about we at least talk wrestling for a little bit? We'll deviate from football for a few moments, go back to football in the next half hour. How about that?
All right. That's fine. That's fine.
Bring in Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State wrestling. Jeff, welcome. Great to have you with us. Penn State carved up Purdue, won with relative ease. So my question to you to start things off, is Penn State that good, or is the competition not quite up to snuff?
It's a little bit of both. But I really do think when healthy, and for the first time we saw that full starting lineup, I don't know that you'd say the Altons are 100% just yet, but when this team is healthy and has the 10 projected starters out there, I do think this is a team that really separates itself from everybody else in the country. You know, I would kind of smack around Oklahoma State pretty good last Friday night, winning at 24-6 out there, and Tom Brands was talking to the press out there afterward and said, you know, yeah, this was a great win, and obviously, you know, knocking off another top five team here by that type of score, you feel pretty good, but we got to keep it in perspective because Penn State's just in a whole different league. And, you know, it's not to say Penn State is incapable of losing in a given meet, but again, when healthy and firing on all cylinders, this is a team that has separated itself from the rest of the field. And again, I think has a chance here in the postseason tournaments to define itself as one of the all-time great teams in the history of the sport.
James Franklin was at the dual meet against Purdue on Sunday and was introduced, and then, you know, obviously has a lot to do, so he went to leave, and Dave Joyner stopped him and said, I think you should watch this first, and that was David Taylor, which the bottom line is, it was one of those, just hang on for a minute, this won't take long, okay? How well is he wrestling? You've watched every bout of his as a senior. What level is he at the moment?
Steve, it's a level that, truthfully, I don't know that we've ever seen anybody at Penn State. The thing that's so hard, I think, sometimes to really understand is that David Taylor is probably the most scouted wrestler in the entire country. I mean, everybody goes in there with a game plan to slow him down, to figure out a way to stop him, to frustrate him, to keep him from scoring points. And I know when you look at the scores, people are saying, and they used to say the same thing about Cale Sanders, it's like, well, there's nobody else great in his weight class. Well, that's not it. It's that he has separated himself to such a degree that other really good, really talented wrestlers look like they are average Joes in comparison to Taylor. I mean, he is beating some really good kids really handily this season. And again, the thing that's just so impressive to me, because Kerry McCoy, you know, went through this, Jimmy Martin went through it, you get guys that just want to slow the match down. And I just have never seen anybody that is able to still score as consistently as David Taylor is when that is the sole mission of the opponent, is to try to keep this thing close, try to keep it within 3 or 4 points. And again, occasionally you've had a couple of elite wrestlers try to do that and be unable to do it. We've had a couple of guys that have given them, you know, a couple of periods, but nobody's been able to go 6 minutes and keep that thing anywhere near close this season with Taylor. And the thing that with David too, Steve, is that this is a kid that just every day in the room, I mean, I know it's a cliche, and every coach says it, you know, you're either going to get better or worse when you come in today. I mean, David Taylor works tirelessly to make sure that every day he's stepping in that room, he is getting better. He perfects little things, works on little things, little maneuvers here, a little twist here. He is just a kid that is driven and sees the big picture. It's more than about trying to win the next match. It's even for him more about winning than winning the national title this year, although obviously that is at the top of his priority list right now. But he wants to become one of the all-time greats, wants to be an Olympic champion. And everything he does, there's multi-purposes behind it, but that is the ultimate goal here for him.
I've talked repeatedly on this show about there's a lack of understanding sometimes about how difficult it is to win. Peyton Manning can't cement his legacy unless he wins a second Super Bowl. Do you know how hard it is to win one? Is David Taylor a perfect example of that? He's had a great career. He has one national championship.
No question. And, you know, again, you look at the two bouts that he lost. Obviously, Kyle Dake, you're talking about one of three four-time national champions in the history of the sport in a very competitive bout. And, you know, Bubba Jenkins said, Jenkins credit, it wasn't a fluke, but he caught Taylor and you know, made sure that he made the most of his opportunity there. But it is really difficult. We saw with Ed Ruth with Gabe Dean this year. I mean, these guys, there is such a level of coaching and such a level of understanding now of opponents in the sport that, you know, just to go undefeated in a season is a pretty remarkable accomplishment anymore in this sport, because so many of these kids are coming out college ready out of high school. I mean, it used to be, you know, you'd get one or two kids in a decade that were really able to compete at a high level that freshman year. But these kids now, I mean, they're wrestling each other from the time they're in elementary school right on up through high school. They're seeing the kids that are winning national titles. They've seen them and competed with them when they were sophomores in high school. And so you're seeing more kids that are ready to compete at that highest level when they enter college. And again, there's just such good coaching throughout the country, the film study and the whole bit, that it is a really difficult path to win consistently in the sport. And the guys that do it, it's obviously there's a skill set that's involved, but there's also just a mental toughness that is really pretty remarkable.
I've never been a big believer in, well, you know, it's good they lost. You know, it really, you know, look, you keep winning. Winning's good, all right? But then when it does happen to you, you have to be able to take something out of it and move forward with it. What did Ed Ruth take out of his loss to allow him to move forward?
You know, Steve, that's a good question, because with those kids, it can sit down. I mean, an Eko Megaluis, you can see it. He gets angry, he gets ticked off, and the whole next week he's in a foul mood, and he's just working even harder if that's possible. But, I mean, he's doing a little extra things to try to make sure that he's taking care of everything he can. David Taylor, same thing. When he's lost, it sours him for a while. Ed Ruth, Cal Sanderson, I thought, had a pretty good point in our post or pre-match show this past Sunday, because I asked him about that, and he said, "Well, Ed doesn't show it. I mean, he's not going to show you that he's upset. He's not. He just acts like he's taking it in stride, but you know it's eating at him. I mean, it bothered him in a big way. He is a kid that has a lot of pride in everything he does, and." Again, it's not anything that he's showing outward in the room. I mean, I've talked to a couple of the other teammates, and they're like, yeah, you wouldn't know anything happened one way or the other. It's kind of an internal thing with Ed Ruth, but it's just one of those things that regardless of what you see, and what you see is just the same Ed Ruth. I mean, he works his tail off in that room, does everything he can to get better every day. But it's one of those things that I think it's just more of an internal thing where he knows that he's not going to let that happen again.
There's an unsung guy on this team that is quietly going about his business, is scoring while the big stars eat up the headlines?
Well, it's hard to be a starter and quiet on this
team. I agree.
But, yeah, I think there are a couple of kids that are really coming on. And, you know, one of them isn't even a starter right now, but I really think Zach Bites at 149 is a kid that is just taking that next step this year. And you know, whether or not and they're going to have to settle some things still in the room. I mean, obviously, the expectation is that the Alton twins are going to be the starters, and that's certainly what I think is going to happen. But that hasn't been completely settled yet. I mean, both James Woolrath and Zach Bites are still in the mix there. But to me, Bites is a kid that just kind of brings that mentality that you're looking for up and down that lineup. And, you know, they have a couple of other kids who are obviously biding their time to next year. As far as the starters are concerned, you know, I think Morgan McIntosh is a guy that could emerge still as a dominant force at the end of the season. He's just there's a couple of little things that he's got to make some adjustments on in terms of the consistency with which he goes out and scores and the consistency with which he avoids putting himself in a bad position. But the possibility is certainly there for him by the time the postseason rolls around to not just win Big Ten and national titles, but to score a ton of points for Penn State in the process. And, you know, Zane Rutherford, I don't know that you could say he's doing it quietly. He's ranked second in the country and undefeated. But, boy, is he a guy that just is so consistent, so methodical with what he brings to the match. I mean, he and Nico Megalutis are probably, well, David Taylor would be there too, are probably the guys that you just know exactly what you're going to get every time out. Necessarily know that they're going to win, but you know what you're going to get as far as the effort for all 7 minutes.
Jeff, that will be my final question, will be about Zane Rutherford. There is one mentality when you are the hunter. Yeah, you're a little bit under the radar, you're hungry, the whole deal, and you catch somebody. There's another mentality that's needed when you are now have opened up some eyes and actually you are now the one with the target. You are the hunted. How has he handled that transition?
Yeah, and Steve, it's one of the more remarkable things about him. You wouldn't know that anything has changed, and if anything, I think he embraces it. I mean, he is a kid that just genuinely loves to compete and wants to go out and challenge himself. I mean, we've seen it from the first day he walked in the room. I mean, he's walking over. You're talking about a true freshman who's got a pretty good resume and, you know, is looking to make that transition to college, and he's going over and seeking Dylan Alden and David Taylor as his workout partners. I mean, that's just the mentality he brought into the room. He knew where the best competition in the room was going to be and how to challenge himself. And he's a kid that just, again, I'm talking about that mental toughness, but he's just a guy that loves to compete, loves to figure things out. I mean, we've seen it time and time again in his matches this year, Steve, where he'll give up an opening takedown or he won't be able to score off of his offense in that first period or maybe even midway through the second period. And you can see him, it's like he's going through, okay, this was the game plan, need to adjust this. And by that third period, he has figured out not only how to fend off your attack, but now, all right, this is what I need to do to get in and score points against you. And, you know, again, I think he embraces, I don't think it matters to him whether he's a big underdog, a big favorite, or whatever. He just wants that opportunity to get out there and compete. And, you know, he's just one of these kids that loves the sport. I mean, he just thrives on the opportunity to wrestle, whether it's in the room, on the mat. It doesn't seem to change him at all, regardless of the circumstances.
Jeff, as always, an absolute pleasure. Appreciate it. That's Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. Giving Kevin, that gives him your fix, I would hope.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You call them the show in wrestling, and there's no question about it.
They're the show. There's no doubt about that. Everywhere they go, they are the ones that draw the crowds because people want to see why they are that good.
The other night I spent some time at a wrestling match, and the one thing that people were talking about is, oh, come on, hockey again on the Big Ten Network? Why aren't they carrying more wrestling? This is the only area you're going to hear that. You're not going to hear that in Minnesota.
Well, you know, let's talk about that when we come back, because, I mean, that's an issue, but I think it's an issue we have to talk about, frankly. We'll come back with more. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. see all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Your friend that's a big wrestling fan made a very, very good point. And he said, why don't they put more on BTN to go, put it on the app or something like that?
Yeah, that was his argument. Yeah. You know, when I said to him, I said, listen, wrestling is not big across the Big Ten for Big Ten Network to carry it. And he said, well, that's why they have the Big Ten Network app and why they have it online.
But it also costs money to do it as well. And that's something that people have to remember. You just go, hey, we're a television network. We have all the money in the world. We're going to flush it down the drain. You have to still produce it. You still have to have a production that goes with it. Wrestling is absolutely huge in Pennsylvania. Wrestling is absolutely huge in Iowa.
Okay. Keep going. I'm waiting. Where's the rest of it?
Hey, we know Oklahoma State's really good. We know Minnesota's really good. But I'm talking about where the fan base is... It doesn't have the national across-the-board reach. I know your friend complained about hockey, but hockey's a big deal in Minnesota. Hockey's a big deal in Wisconsin. Hockey's a big deal in Michigan. Hockey's a big deal in Ohio.
Hockey's a real big deal in Michigan.
Yeah, it's a big deal in Pennsylvania. It has more in the Big Ten footprint. It has more across the board. More casual fans get into it. Wrestling doesn't have a great casual fan base. And I know it's hard for people. Somebody was mad about Penn State losing basketball last night. Whatever, they should drop the program. I go, really? Well, how many other programs you want to drop? They go, well, what do you mean? I said, despite what you think, they still make $5.2 million a year. You flush them, you're going to have to flush a whole bunch of other programs they're paying for because they have a TV and a radio contract that like pay legitimate dollars. We pay big dollars. And there's NCAA tournament money, and there's Big Ten tournament money, and so forth. I mean, there's an economic reality to this. Now, for Penn State, they have to be better in basketball, because guess what? If you can suddenly get your average attendance through winning, obviously, from 5,000, 6,000 up to 10,000, you have the potential to make another $1 million for the program, which is another $1 million for the athletic department. You can't do that in other sport. And I know people argue, Rec Hall sold out. Wrestling still loses $1 million a year despite selling out every match.
Let me ask you this question.
Let's go to the Jordan Center. Guess what?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Guess what? Got to pay rent. Okay? There's a whole bunch of things that people do not realize that must happen to do things. You have to pay rent to go there.
They don't have to pay rent to go to Rec Hall?
No. See, athletics owns the building.
Right. That's where it's tough, I think, for even me to understand, and I know what you're talking about.
But and they can't, and they've been, when it comes to wrestling here, they have been so smart about what they've done with tickets. If they were to raise ticket prices to basketball levels, would they sell out?
Probably not.
Bingo. And that's the mistake that UConn made with women's basketball. UConn got really, really popular with women's basketball. So they started playing at the Hartford Civic Center. They were charging $22 a head. This is 10 years ago. Guess what? Guess what people don't want to pay in 2014? $22 to go see a women's basketball game.
I might pay $22 for a good seat for a wrestling match to see Penn State, though.
But which match? Purdue?
See, I don't. That wouldn't care. I wouldn't care about that. But then again, I'm in the minority there. I admit it.
Yeah, but you pay $22 every time. You said a match.
Right.
Would you
a
pay
match.
$22?
Right.
$22 per for the whole season?
Hey, listen, I've got more questions for you after the news, so stick around, Steve. I got a whole lot of them.
Let me put it this way. Penn State brilliantly has priced their wrestling. It's just right where it should be.